Hello and welcome to episode 2 of the Kickback Pod. I am your host, Josh Dominic, aka JD.
And I'm Fabian Gorsler, your co-host. We are doing this second episode remote in Berlin, actually, because I'm going to be gone for a few weeks and we're trying to test this whole can we record a podcast in two different places kind of thing.
Tell the world where you're going, man.
I mean, if everything goes to plan, you know, corona tests, regulations, all that kind of stuff, my girlfriend and I are going to the Canary Islands for 3 weeks. And we're hoping that everything works out next week and we can fly. So, yeah.
Yeah, I hope so, too. We will still be recording a pod even while you guys are mid-vacation.
Yeah, and I mean, you said you might be going somewhere as well, right?
Yeah. Well, I had plans to go to Portugal, Madeira. Turns out that there is a variant of the COVID virus over there right now, and it pretty much travel is banned for anyone going from Portugal to Germany. So it looks like I need to come up with a plan B. Good thing I didn't buy any tickets or anything yet. But anyways, yeah, we both got plans, I guess, next month to do a bit of traveling. And you know what? Our listeners probably don't want to just keep hearing about our travel plans.
No, let's get into it. Let's talk about sneakers.
Yeah, let's get into the sneakers. I wanted to say, first of all, thank you guys so much for all the feedback on episode 1. Got a lot of great feedback on Instagram, on YouTube as well. And yeah, shout out to you guys for taking the time, listening to us, checking us out. Appreciate that. And the podcast is now officially available on Spotify as well as Apple Music and Deezer, right?
Yeah, Deezer and I think one or two others that I don't think anybody uses anyway. So the big ones are Apple and Spotify. So if you guys have an account there, we're live there. You just have to search the Kickback or, you know, head to our Instagram and the link is in the bio.
Right. And a couple of you guys have also asked me to upload the pod to YouTube because that is the place where you guys mainly listen to pods. So I will be uploading it to my YouTube channel as well, youtube.com/Josh Dominic. So look out for that. So last week we talked about the main big topic we talked about was how to start a sneaker collection. Our big topic for this week will be sneaker budgeting. You know, there's a lot of sneakers dropping every month. How do we budget for them? And of course, we're going to get into some of the hottest sneaker topics in the last few weeks, as well as the hottest upcoming sneakers in the next 2 weeks. So, let's just kick it off, man. Like, if we're going to start talking about the last 2 weeks, the absolute number one biggest topic, let's get into it. What happened with the trophy rooms, man? Tell me.
Oh, man. I mean, there's all rumors, right? There's nothing that's been confirmed, but you know, I wrote a piece for Heist and Abidi and Brendan Dunn wrote a really good piece for Complex too, with a lot of inside sources, unnamed sources too, who spoke on the release. And basically what happened was, you know, the trophy room Air Jordan 1. Trophy room, first of all, is a retailer owned by Marcus Jordan, Michael Jordan's son. And Trophy Room collaborates with Jordan brand every year on a special edition Jordan. This year it was an Air Jordan 1, limited to 12,000 pairs worldwide. All or almost all 12,000 pairs were supposed to drop through Trophy Room. And it felt like every single pair that Trophy Room had was backdoored. Backdooring means, selling through the back door before the release, either for resale prices or to resellers who buy in bulk. I didn't even try and cop, but Josh, you said you tried to cop, or at least were online during this whole thing, and you saw the reactions online, right? What were people saying?
Well, let's just say that they left the back door slightly ajar. Let's just say it that way. It seems like at least half of the stock was backdoored, because we saw pictures of people prior to the release with hundreds of pairs. I know Benjamin Kicks, he had about 500 pairs. Of course, like, sneaker community is super pissed off, considering that this release was only supposed to be 12,000 pairs in total, and about 6,000 of them, more than 6,000, were not available for the general public. So obviously people pissed off, and even those remaining 6,000 on the day of the release, there was like a 1-hour window to enter a raffle, and the website basically completely crashed. You couldn't you couldn't even enter the raffle if you tried.
Yeah, and I heard that they did like an old school email raffle where you had to send an email to
that was the backup option. So right. Initially,
and that crashed too.
Yeah, exactly. Like people were sending emails and they were getting bounce backs.
Because mm-hmm. the mailbox was full. Yeah.
The mailbox was full. Exactly. So it was just an absolute shit show, the raffle. I couldn't even get an entry in. So yeah, definitely not too happy about it. I mean, I wasn't really trying to cop the shoe for personal, like just my opinion. It's not that nice of a shoe, but definitely people were pissed off. And it seems like the number one reason people were pissed off the most, of course, was backdooring, which I personally don't understand too much because it's nothing new, right? Like there's been backdooring since the dawn of sneakers, or not just in sneakers, like pretty much anything that has like a high demand. Like there's a lot of backdooring going on. That's just the way things work in this, like, I guess, capitalistic type of society. Like things are going to work that way. I think like one thing I just wanted to clarify that it seems like a lot of people don't understand this. Like when backdooring happens, it doesn't mean that these guys who got 600 pairs, they're not getting it for retail. Like they are more than likely paying a very high premium to, in this case, Trophy Room, in order to get those shoes. So they didn't get all 500 of those pairs for retail. They probably paid maybe up to 1,000 a pair, who knows. But that's usually how backdooring works. Like you pay
right.
It's usually
a price between the resale value and the retail value, right? So that the exactly. retailer makes more than they would have had they sold it at retail, and the right. person buying in bulk can then flip them and also make some money. So everybody's kind of making more money.
Yeah, exactly. Like so everyone wins at the end. And I guess what kind of shocked me the most about it was the fact that it was Trophy Room who did this, like especially considering, you know, the ties to Michael Jordan. We got Michael Jordan's son running the store. So I guess that kind of was a bit surprising to me. It doesn't seem like a place that is struggling financially or anything like that. So I mean, I don't know what exactly happened there, but
yeah, I think definitely that makes it a little, I guess, shadier, sketchier. I know that the Complex article went into detail about how, you know, there are people at Jordan Brand who, you know what happened, or, you know that it might have happened, but because he's MJ's son, nobody really wants to rock the boat or say anything. Of course, Marcus Jordan denies it, says that it never happened. That the release was fair, that the pairs people are flaunting or were flaunting before or just after the release are all fake. You know, that obviously can be the case, but a lot of people are saying that it's probably not. I mean, you can't really get your hands on that many fakes.
Yeah, that's
around the release that quickly, you know?
Yeah, and it's not exactly the easiest shoe to produce fakes of, you know, like it's a shoe that has like some kind of icy detailings on it with the mm-hmm. like it's the type of shoe that I think if you had a fake pair, you could easily tell it's a fake compared to a real pair.
Right. So, I guess, yeah.
So I don't know if I so much believe Marcus Jordan's story there, but I wasn't necessarily like angered by the whole thing. It's just, I guess it's just something you come to expect with most sneaker releases nowadays.
Yeah, I think it also is more obvious this time around because all or 95% of the pairs were supposed to be sold through one retailer. So when there is backdooring, it's a little more obvious than say, you know, the Off-White Jordan 4s, it, you know, that released at like 70 plus retailers. And if some of them are doing backdooring for smaller amounts, it's not as obvious as if 6,000 to 8,000 pairs or whatever the number was in the end are backdoored from a single store. Yeah, I mean, it's really unfortunate. I mean, at the end of the day, these shoes are supposed to go to people that want them. And I think there's a big difference between, you know, a kid getting lucky, winning a raffle and then flipping his, and a reseller like Benjamin Kicks coming in, buying 500 pairs and then selling them all for twice or three times as much as what he paid and just making a lot of money. At the end of the day, it's just unfair. It's unfortunate, but it's also kind of lame, you know?
I would love to know, what exactly does Nike or Jordan Brand do to kind of stop this? Like, do they have some kind of like checks in place? Maybe they send mystery shoppers or something to these stores. And I don't know. I'm just guessing, because like I was thinking of it this way, like when it comes to backdooring, I think it's much more likely to happen, especially in smaller like boutique stores. Like this happens, I know this happens a lot in skate shops. Like skate shops are a pretty niche market. They don't have like a wide customer base. Then it's a business you get into for the love of skateboarding. This right. These aren't exactly stores that are just making tons of money throughout the year. And then all of a sudden a sneaker release comes along where these items can resell for 10 times what they are selling it for. Like, I mean, in these kind of situations, I totally understand why some of these skate shops will want a backdoor. You know, you can make like your quarterly revenue targets, you know, in it with just one release.
Right. So, yeah.
So I understand why that happens. I just wonder what exactly are the brands doing in order to kind of stop that from happening? They must know that this happens.
Yeah, I think, I mean, you know, it's super hard to prove, right? You know, the resellers will say like, yeah, we got it from the store. The store will say, no, we didn't sell it to them. Obviously, at the end of the day, there is a paper trail and the brands probably could follow up on it. But I think, you know, brands will not want it to get as much backlash as it's getting. So I think as long as it's happening and nobody's really upset about it, like they were with the trophy room release, then it's okay. Or not okay, but the brands will kind of close an eye to it or they just won't know what's going on. You know, like I said, when it's a big release with multiple retailers, it's hard to control everyone. So I think as much as the brands could do something about it, at the end of the day, it falls, in my opinion, on the retailer to just be fair, and to try and at least make a fair release out of it, or be open about it and say, you know what, half of the stock is going to loyal customers who've spent $200 with us in the last year. I don't think anybody would begrudge kind of somebody who goes to this store regularly and buys and supports the store financially throughout the year for non-hype releases to then have a better chance of getting a hyped shoe. I think that's a totally valid way of doing it. But, you know, yeah, at the end of the day, I think releases are so murky nowadays, it's hard to kind of tell who is at fault for what. And like I said, it's super hard to kind of follow any trail there or any trail of evidence.
Yeah, no, I agree with you that that one method of prioritizing your loyal customers. Yeah, I think that's a pretty fair way to do it. And most people wouldn't really complain about that.
Yeah. But speaking of crazy releases, right? We had the, so obviously the trophy room, another Jordan release, we had the Carmine Sixes drop and a video went viral of, I don't know where it was. I think it was in New York or somewhere in America, where a bunch of, I guess, sneakerheads, kids kind of were storming the front of a store. I think it was maybe a Foot Locker. I could be wrong though. And they're just kind of running over each other, you know, some wearing masks, some not wearing masks. And I asked myself, like, who's running a first come first serve in-store release during a pandemic? Like, how irresponsible is that, you know?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, there was a lot wrong with that video. And I also don't know where exactly in the States that was. But that's nuts. Like, why are in-store releases still happening right now? I know that in the US, there are some states that are pretty lax about restrictions. There aren't that many cases or whatnot. But still, like, it was insane to see that happening in 2021. Yeah. And also the other thing, okay, pandemic or no pandemic, why are people acting like this? Especially like I would get it if it was okay, like the panda pigeons, the pigeon dunks or whatever, you know,
right?
Like 5,000 pairs worldwide. I get why people would act like that, but we're talking about like a GR Jordan 6 that is currently reselling for $30 above retail or $40 above retail. Like, are people really trampling each other to make like an extra $30? Like, I don't know what's like, is it really worth it, guys?
I mean, like, I'm not a big fan of sixes anyway. And I think like, I know there's a lot of, you know, it was the Carmine six with the Nike Air on the heel. I get that, but personally not a fan of sixes, personally not a fan of red and white shoes, in that kind of color blocking. I think you're right. I mean, pandemic or no pandemic, like a stampede like that is stupid, is irresponsible. I think the store should have done, again, the retailer should have done more to kind of keep people safe. And it doesn't matter what shoe it is. There's no shoe where you should put your own health or those around you at risk just to get a shoe. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I definitely think at the very least for public health and safety, you shouldn't be having in-store releases right now. Yeah. There was another in-store release for those New Balances, the Paperboy New Balances, 992s, mm-hmm. I think.
In Paris or?
Yeah. There was a Paris in-store only release, which a lot of people were confused about because many people wanted that pair, including myself. Mm-hmm. But that was also a Paris in-store only release. And I just don't get it. Like, why are stores doing in-store releases right now? It's no disregard for public safety, in my opinion.
Yeah, or just do an in-store release, but handle it better. You know, do like a online raffle for in-store pickup, for example, or something like that. Not an in-store raffle or an in-store lineup or something like that. I don't know how the Paperboy release went down, but from the videos I saw about the Carmine release, just bad planning, you know, bad planning and no kind of foresight or oversight for that matter. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's insane. And really, I don't know, once again, why people are jumping over each other for a shoe that is very widely available, but yeah, I mean that's the way things are now.
For sure. So, shall we talk about what we copped in the last couple
weeks?
Wait,
there was one more topic. I wrote it down, but I forgot to talk about it in the pre-production. Did you see the leaks of those Travis fragments?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did you see that?
And I saw them. I mean they're like the fragment color blocking with the reverse Travis swoosh, right?
Yeah, and yeah, exactly. And what did you think?
Not a fan. I think it's too much, honestly. Like, fragment Jordan, sure. If you must. Travis Scott Jordan, obviously super hyped. Not really for me, but you know what? Super hyped. But it just feels kind of like they're playing collaboration bingo and they're like, okay, let's put as many big names together as possible. You know, take the most hyped silhouette, take the most hyped musician and creative right now, and take a pretty hyped Japanese designer and put it all together and see what happens. It just seems, it's almost like a fake you would buy on a market, you know?
That is exactly what I thought too. This looked like a fake, and it just feels so unnecessary. Like, no one asked for this collab.
No.
And it just also just seems so unorganic. Like, what does Travis Scott have to do with Fragment?
Right, exactly.
Why did I think his name is Hiroshi
Fujiwara.
Fujiwara, exactly. Yeah. Like, why did Hiroshi even agree to this? First of all, we don't know if this is an official sneaker. We just saw Travis rocking a pair. We don't know if this is in the works or anything. It could have been a custom. Who knows? But why would Hiroshi sign off on this? Has he ever met Travis? What is the connection here? Like, I have no idea. This is such a forced collab. And putting all that aside too, I think it's an ugly, ugly sneaker. Like, it does not look good at all. This is just a pure hype sneaker, but not something I want to be adding to my own collection. That's for sure.
No, I think also the reverse swoosh was cool when it started, but it's been done on so many Travis sneakers now, right? So I think it's getting a bit tired, that design, and the color blocking is the same as the Fragment ones, I believe, that already released.
Yeah.
So it's literally just taking an existing sneaker, flipping the swoosh, or like putting two existing sneakers together, and that's it. You know, there's no If you had told me, like, you know, that they were big fans of each other and they really wanted to work on something together, but they wanted it to be fresh and new, then like do it on a new silhouette or a new model or something like that, or with a new colorway. Or a new design feature, not a reverse swoosh, something else. But yeah, like you said, it's just tired, kind of lazy, and
super
it'll
lazy.
Sell out. It'll sell out because it'll be super hype. But it's not a great shoe, I think. From what I've seen, they're very blurry images, right?
It's boring. Like if these two guys are gonna come together, I would expect something a little better than that. That this was a pretty boring, unoriginal sneaker. In my opinion,
for sure,
as well.
For sure. Super boring. So then let's talk about what you've copped, because I know that you
So
some very unboring cops.
Yeah, you know, definitely. So this is also just for the people listening. We're gonna start doing this on every pod as well. both me and Fabian, like, we're, I guess, blessed to be able to just cop a lot of sneakers throughout the week. So we'll you know, do a quick recap of what we copped in the last 2 weeks in between pods. And I copped a ton of sneakers actually in the last 2 weeks. Yesterday, there were about like 12 boxes that showed up at my door. I'm just going to talk about two of them. So the first one I got, well, only Fabian can see it right now on the Very Zoom, nice. But it's basically the neutral gray ones. This was a sneaker that at the start of the year, I absolutely knew I had to get no matter what. And mm-hmm. I was kind of preparing for it. I knew I would take an L. Like, there's only 23,000 pairs worldwide. I did take an L, so I ended up copying it off StockX. These came in yesterday, and yeah, I love them, man. Like, the colorway is just super nice. It does feel really weird on feet. It doesn't feel like any other Jordan 1.
Like in a good way or a bad way?
No, in a bad way. And like, okay. it's very uncomfortable. The leather is extremely stiff, so it's not. And apparently the leather is very similar to the 1985 Jordans. It feels like a 1985 shoe, like, for real. It's really uncomfortable. And that when you're
maybe
walking,
you have to like break in or something like that, you know?
Yeah. I was talking to some guys over at Soulbox. Shout out to Massimo and Chris over there at Soulbox. They were basically giving me tips on what to do. And they said, basically, if you take a wet towel and you kind of put it like on top of your toes, and then like wear the shoes with the wet towel on your toes, that will basically like soften up the leather, and it won't be like kind of digging into your toes with every step. So I'm going to try that. I haven't tried that yet.
That's like a real sneakerhead insider tip right there.
Yeah, definitely. Like that, like when they were saying that to me, I was like, what? Okay. But I'm going to try that for sure, because this is definitely a sneaker I know I'm going to get a ton of use out of. Like, I know like Jordan 1s are getting so played out now. We're getting different colorways every week, but this is like the Jordan 1, like, in my opinion, like, because you can wear this with anything. Like, this is just a super clean colorway. Mm-hmm. We haven't seen this colorway since 1985. And I think they did a great job. I think the leather quality is also really, really good. It is a bit stiff, but needs some breaking into. And the other sneaker, which I just copped literally 2 hours ago, these are the Curry Dunks. So,
nice.
Or they're called like the Medium Curry Dunks.
Medium Curry, yeah.
The Medium Curry Dunks. And man, these are just so nice. So nice. Like, the quality is so nice. The suede is really good. And of course, like, the colorway is just a banger, man. Like, you know, brown shoes right now, super popular. Mm-hmm. And I know we've been getting a lot of dunks, but in my opinion, this is probably the nicest dunk I've seen since maybe even the plums that came out last year.
Yeah.
In terms of quality, in terms of the colorway, this is just a very, very nice pair of shoes. Yeah, if this was like a real curry, like, this wouldn't be like a butter chicken. This is like a chicken tikka masala. This is yeah, you know what I mean. Like, this is the good the good stuff. This is Steph Curry, not Seth Curry.
Oh wow!
No disrespect to Seth, but I mean, like, this is the good stuff, man.
No, for sure. I think that Dunk Low is one of the best general release dunks we've had. SB or not, right? In a long time, in my opinion. I think obviously like a lot of the collaborations were really, really on point as well over the last like 18 months. But in terms of generally shoes, that one just looks really nice, you know?
Yeah,
like
definitely.
It you can dress well with it too, you know, because it's got that like kind of beige, tan, brown with like white base, just really, really nice.
Yeah, no, they did a great job on this one.
Nice. And yeah, so I didn't get 12 pairs of shoes this week or the last 2 weeks, but I got one that is really cool. It's a little different to, you know, my usual pickups. It's the Soland Li-Ning Shadow, which
I saw that on your Instagram, that very futuristic looking shoe.
So let me tell you, it's like walking on clouds. And I know people say that about Boost. They say that about React. But this shoe is like if Boost had Boost, you know? Like, it's so good. It's so comfortable. Like, there's probably like 2 inches of like this soft foam. It's a running shoe, right? And it honestly feels like you're walking on clouds. Like, it's also a really interesting futuristic design. It's got this like Velcro kind of semi-translucent cover that you can like put over the laces, so you hide the laces. And it's got this like really cool grip on the outsole. So if you're, I think it's like, if you're running, it's not like a trail running shoe, but it's probably more than a road running shoe. So you have some better grip on there too. But it's almost too nice to take running. I really want to test it out just because it's so comfortable, but I also don't want to destroy the shoes by running in them. And dude, you're selling me on it.
Like now I want a couple pair, like twice as good as Boost. Like that's
crazy
endorsement.
When I put these on, it was like when I put Boost shoes on back in like, what was it? 2013, 2014 for the first time. And I was like, whoa, what is this? Now I put this on knowing what Boost feels like. And I was like, whoa, what is this? Damn. So good. And I think the guys over at Solan did a really, really good job, because Li Ning is obviously known for like a lot of crazy designs, a lot of kind of out there, mind-blowing, eye-catching designs, sometimes also being eye-catching just for the sake of being eye-catching. But I think that, you know, Solan and Li Ning chose this silhouette and really pared it down and made it mind-blowing in the right way, if that makes sense. It's like not too crazy, so you feel comfortable wearing it because you don't feel like you've got these spaceships on your feet, even though they are spaceships, you know.
I'm gonna definitely cop a pair, man. You sold me on it. I've never actually owned a pair of Li Nings, and some of these designs, like the recently I'm thinking of Anta. There was this Anta collab with Salehe Bembury, right?
I mean, Chinese shoes in general, like they're just pushing the boundaries, and they're doing stuff just to be different and better almost than the Western brand. So it's interesting seeing like what's coming out in China. But yeah, that's probably the only one that I've picked up in the last couple of weeks that's worth talking about. I have a couple other packages on the way that will hopefully arrive before I go on holiday, one from Amsterdam and one from LA. But maybe I'll talk about those in the next podcast episode. So if you want to know what I get, tune in a couple weeks.
Okay, the Amsterdam one, probably the Patas.
Yes, the Pata New Balances. I can't wait to get my hands on those. Shout out Lee for hooking it up. I'm really excited for those.
Yeah, that colorway is hard, man.
Yeah.
So let's get into the big topic of the pod. So. We talked about last week starting a sneaker collection. How do you actually now budget for sneakers? And I mean, like, first of all, budgeting for sneakers, it's different for everybody. Like, some people have like ridiculous budgets for sneakers. Mm-hmm. I actually had a subscriber of mine like DM me a while back asking me if like, and this guy was like 16 years old, and he was asking me, hey, do you think paying $1,200 is okay for a pair of the Habibi Dunks? And I was like, dude, like when I was 16, like $1,200, that would be like 3 months of working at my part-time job.
Damn, you know? That's a lot of money. Like, even now, I don't know if I would spend $1,200 on a pair of shoes.
I know. Yeah, so I mean, like, budgeting is obviously different for everybody, but I guess I can just kind of say the way I do it. So I guess now we know well ahead of time like what sneakers are going to release, when they're going to release. You know, brands leak images like months in advance, and the way I do it is like I look at all the releases in the upcoming month, for example, and I will like hand pick like one or two that I'm like, okay, these for sure I gotta have, like I'm gonna add them to my collection. And I kind of start budgeting for them, like just imagining that I'm gonna take an L on them. So because, like, you know, nowadays, like who gets stuff for retail anyways, like it's super hard. So yeah. I kind of budget for what the resale price is gonna be. And the things I kind of do in order to, you know, allow myself to buy that sneaker is I will first of all, like look at my current collection. And I'll see like, okay, is there anything I'm really not wearing anymore? And what can I kind of sell right now to make room for this new sneaker? And that's pretty much like just kind of like a rule I have. Like
a one in, one out.
One in, one out once I reach a certain amount of sneakers, which I already have. So I always kind of do one in, one out. And that way, like what I find myself is like at the end of the year, I typically don't actually spend any money on sneakers because I made all of that back just from getting rid of other sneakers.
Right.
So that's kind of how I do it. But the other thing really important to remember, in my opinion, is that every single month, and not just every single month, every single week, it seems like there's a new sneaker dropping that you absolutely need to have.
You know?
Like, at least that's the way it gets pushed to you. You know, like it gets pushed to you on Instagram. You log in, every sneaker account you follow, every Instagram influencer you follow is like wearing that sneaker, and you feel like you need it. Mm-hmm. But the truth is, you don't really need every single sneaker that drops every single week. So that's why, going back to what I said earlier, like at the start of the month, I look at like one or two pairs I absolutely need to have. And these are the sneakers I'm going to have. If during the month, let's say I win some raffles on some other pairs that I kind of didn't really want, or just unexpectedly, you know, won a raffle on it, I'll sell those shoes. Like I'm not ashamed to say that. I'll sell shoes so that now I know, like, I have more money to buy this one shoe I do actually want. That's what I did this year with the neutral grays. Like I bought it off StockX. Like I paid like 550 euros or something for it. Mm-hmm. But I mean, like I made up that pretty much, I made up even more of that back by selling other stuff that I won. Like I won some raffles on some other sneakers. And I also sold, I sold my Pure Platinum Dunk Highs, which is like a really similar colorway to this. I sold that to kind of make room for this. So, I mean, that's the way I do it. So what about you, Fabian?
Well, I mean, before I get into like what I do, I think also to kind of put it into perspective, right? You do a lot of reviews on shoes, right? So yeah, a lot of the time you're also buying them for your own channel so that you can make content. So you're a content creator. So that's a little different, right? Like I think other people who might not have their own YouTube channel or whatever, one, two, three, a quarter is even enough sometimes. It really depends. It's all relative. Like the way I do it is quite similar to the way you do it. I look at like what shoes I really want, and then I focus on those in that month. But I almost never pay resale for shoes. If I miss mm-hmm. a shoe, I miss a shoe, and that's okay, because I know, like you said, next week there's going to be another one that I fall in love with, you know, quote unquote. And so that's kind of how it's developed over the last few years. There's so many releases and quite a lot of good releases too, that it's almost deterred at least people like me from paying resale, because you can just say, if you have the self-control, you can say, okay, fine, I didn't get these shoes, I'll just wait, you know, and it's a personal choice for everyone, right? But you can say, fine, I'll just wait next week and there's another shoe, or next month or in 2 months, there's another really big release that I want to get. Or even if it's not a big release, you can then get a shoe that isn't as hype, because it's then easier to get. But in terms of like monetary value, like how much to spend on shoes, I think everyone kind of needs to decide for themselves. I think it needs to be, you know, within reason. Like if you have $500 on your account, you shouldn't be spending $200 to $300 on shoes, right? I think, I don't know, was it like Jay-Z who said, like, if you can't buy it four times, you can't afford it, something like that, right? If you buy something and then you're kind of eating beans and toast for the rest of the week, then you probably shouldn't spend that much money on shoes, and that's totally fine, you know. Or if some of the shoes are getting so expensive nowadays. Like, why does an ISPA Nike shoe have to cost, what was it, like $450 or euros?
Oh, that's
right, like the split toe one.
Yeah, that was insane.
Cost almost 500 euros, and it was an in-house Nike release. It's ridiculous. Why? Yeah, I just don't understand it anymore.
I mean, Yeezy brand is probably even worse with that. Like, I know they recently brought down the price point of the 700 V1. It used to be $300, and it was $300 for a few years, and I thought that was insane. Like $300 mm-hmm. retail for a pair of shoes.
I think it's like $230 now or $220, or so. They brought it down
to $240.
But they brought it down like quite significantly. Yeah.
But even at $240, it's still a lot. Like,
yeah, I mean, $240, that's a lot retail. Of money. That's what I spend on food, like groceries for the month, you know, like just to put it into perspective, like shoes are expensive. Even $150, €150 for a pair of shoes. And I think also like anyone listening, and you as well, I mean, we'll all agree that we probably all have too many shoes and buy too many shoes too, just as well. Like, it's hard for me as well, from like a sustainability standpoint too, like this constant consumption stuff, it's not sustainable. So like, that's where I struggle personally sometimes, where I say, you know what, fine, then, you know, I'll miss this release, or, you know, I'll enjoy the shoe on Instagram, or I'll enjoy it digitally by just looking at it and seeing other people enjoy it. But yeah, I think everyone kind of has to decide for themselves, and you should never really overextend yourself financially just for shoes, because at the end of the day, they're just shoes, man. And if you have a pair of shoes that fit your feet, that don't have any holes in them, then that's really enough. You know, obviously, yeah. Obviously, like, enjoying shoes is a little different. You want to have a little bit more, you want to grow your collection. That's totally fine too. Just don't ever put yourself, you know, in financial trouble because of sneakers. That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, that's interesting that you mentioned that personal rule you have, which is that you never pay resale for a pair of shoes. And
not that I never pay resale, I just haven't paid resale in a very long time. Yeah. Because it just helps me to kind of like say, okay, well, there's another release coming up, like whatever. It saves me money too. I think what I might do this year is, instead of buying new shoes or exclusively new shoes, I might go back and buy some shoes from the last 1 or 2 years that I didn't manage to get, and save up for those by, you know, selling old ones that I've worn a couple of times but don't wear enough, or, you know, selling old clothes. Like, you know, if you sell like 3, 4, 5 hoodies on eBay for, you know, 30, 40 euros, that's, you know, then you've got 160 euros and you can go buy a pair of shoes. So sometimes I do that as well, kind of selling old stuff and trying to buy new stuff with that money.
Yeah, no, for sure. But I was just going to say, you're not the only one. Like, I know so many people who have that exact same rule. Like, they'll never pay resale for a pair of shoes. And that's honestly, like, kudos to you guys, because that's a lot of self-control. Self-restraint that, like, I clearly don't have. I mean, if I just, you know, was able to just accept the fact that I took an L on the neutral grays and just like forget about it. Like, I mean, I wish that was the case, but like, I was thinking about it the next day. I was thinking about it the day after. I'm like, yeah, no, I'm buying these, you know. Like,
yeah, but I mean, at the end of the day, it's like we both said, it's everyone's personal choice. And if you know, if you're doing this with every single release, then I would say,
no, Josh, of course not. Like, of you course got a problem. Not,
but yeah, if you're doing it, you know, if it's like one release every couple months where you're like, damn, like, I really wanted this one, go ahead, you know. And like you said, your one in, one out rule means that, you know, you're not amassing sneakers, and you're still kind of controlling how much you spend and how much you bring in and stuff like that. I think that's fine. In the end, everyone needs to decide for themselves. Everyone's situation is different. Everyone's tastes are different too. You know, like, buy what you like, wear what you buy, and that's it.
Wear what you buy. That's definitely a key point right there. I think a good topic probably for a future episode would be like ways you can save money when buying sneakers, because there's a lot of different ways you can actually save money on sneakers.
I mean, you could even buy sneakers worn, you know, like,
oh yeah, just no, a that, times. That, like, that's one of the top, I mean,
we'll,
ways
we'll to save get money. To that, but like, you know, wear a pair of shoes one time and you could probably, you know, knock 30 to 40% off the value. And,
yeah, no,
you know,
absolutely.
Like, depending on the shoe, obviously. But then
I've done that. I've bought 1 or 2 time worn sneakers for way cheaper than retail. So
exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, we will save that for a future episode. For now, let's just kind of get into, for the next 2 weeks, what are some of the hottest sneakers that are going to be dropping? Do you want to start?
Yeah, I'm going to start with an unexpected sneaker. It's the Diadora Mythos 280. I showed you before we started recording, right? It's like this super, for anyone listening, it's just like super futuristic 2000s runner. It came out in 2009. It's got this like silver big hole mesh upper with red accents. It reminds me a lot of the Nike Air Max 97 Silver Bullet. And only 600 pairs of these are releasing worldwide this weekend on Saturday. And if you're into, you know, 2000s runners, kind of stuff that was futuristic back then and still is now, these are definitely for you. I'm a big fan of those.
Wait, did you say 600 pairs worldwide?
Yeah, just 600 pairs. It's like a special,
that's nuts. That's insane.
Yeah, that's nothing. Yeah, it's like one retailer stock, basically.
Yeah, 600 is ridiculously low.
I don't expect them to resell for a lot just because it is a bit of a niche brand and a niche shoe, but it's an unexpected shoe. It's kind of like a shoe that you'll wear and people will be like, oh, yo, what are those? But like in the good way, you know, like, damn, where'd you get those? So those are really exciting. And then there's a few Yeezy releases coming up. Like you told me about this 700 V3, the blue one. What was it called again?
Kyanite.
Yeah. Kyanite. Those look really cool. I'm a big fan of the V3. I'm a big fan of all 700s, actually.
I love the V3, man. Like, okay, so my favorite, what's your favorite Yeezy, not Nike, what's your favorite Adidas Yeezy of all time?
Oh, man, good question. I would have to say probably the 1050s, the first boots that came out, you know? Those like,
oh yeah, oh,
no,
yeah,
no,
of
not
course.
Not 1050s, 950s.
Sorry, 950s.
Oh man, just because like those would have been so useful the last couple of weeks when it was snowing here in Berlin.
Yeah.
So in terms of like ultimate, like that's a good pick. But then also anything from the 700 range you can give me and I'll wear them and I really like them. What about you?
Yeah. For me, the 700 V1 Wave Runner is my favorite Adidas Yeezy of all time. And a second, and I would even say a close second, would be the 700 V3, the original colorway, the Azales.
Oh, those are nice too.
Yeah, only because like when that shoe first released, like it was kind of like a shock moment for everyone because they looked like these alien shoes. Like no one had ever seen anything that looked like it. It was glow in the dark all over the upper and they just looked insane. And I was like, I love seeing like anything different, you know, and Adidas Yeezy brand especially. Always giving us new silhouettes every year. That's what I admire a lot about them. And this particular colorway, the Kyanites, I think is one of the best colorways to release from the V3 line. It looks even better than that other blue V3, which was the Arzareth pair, I think.
Yeah.
This Kyanite pair, I think, maybe even the second best colorway we've seen on the V3. So yeah, look out for those.
For sure. Actually, just on the Yeezy point there, like I was talking to a colleague of mine, Tim, shout out Tim. And I told him, I was like, yo, I think I'm going to start wearing Yeezys again. And he was like, oh yeah, because they like aren't hyped
anymore.
Wait,
hold up, like 350s?
No, I mean, no, just because those are like still too dead. But I still think that 350 V2 is a great shoe. I think it's a really good shoe. It's just that it's everywhere and it is the new Roshe. I can't wear that one, but I'm probably going to get maybe a V3 700 and the, what's it called? Like the Moon Vision or whatever, the 700 MNVN, like the,
oh, you know. Okay. No, I didn't see that release, but that's also releasing.
No, it's not releasing, but like in the next, I don't know, few months or next year, maybe I'll pick up one, like an older colorway or something like that. Maybe I can get a used pair on eBay. But yeah, I think I'm going to start wearing Yeezys again, you know?
Wait, so you don't wear any other Yeezys?
I have a Wave Runner, but I haven't worn that in over a year. Like I don't.
Oh, wow. Okay. Okay.
I used to have a lot. I had like the original 750s, like the OG ones that dropped in New York. I had a lot of 350s. I had the Pirate Blacks. I had the Turtle Doves.
You sold all of them.
I wore them all. I wore all of mine, but then I sold them worn they sat around for months and then I decided, you know what, like let someone else have them. Mm-hmm. And yeah, that's basically my history with Yeezy.
Yeah. Anything else coming out besides?
No, I mean, I think there's a couple of Yeezy Boost 350 V2s, but like I said, those are not really my favorite. So I'd say probably the 700 V3s and that Diadora Mythos are my two like picks for the next few weeks. What about you?
There's a few, like I would say like the sneaker I'm most hyped about over the next 2 weeks are the Jordan 4s and the Taupe Haze colorway.
Yeah.
Super nice colorway, you know, like very much like it looks like the undefeated 4s in a way.
So good. Yeah.
I'm interested to see that upper in hand. I've heard a lot of bad things and negative things so far about the upper. So like, about how it kind of like just kind of flakes
like
away
cracked,
from the shoe.
Right. Yeah. We spoke about a lot last time as well that it's got this interesting like cracked flaky kind of leather upper, but the colorway is just really really great.
Yeah, the colorway is super nice. So I'm definitely hyped on those. Probably one of the nicest Jordan 4s to release this year. There's also Nike. I don't know if Nike's trying to like put some hype on the Blazers again, or for the first time. It looks like there's a pretty hyped Blazer coming out, the ready-made collab with on the Nike Blazer.
Yeah,
ready-made is this brand out of Japan, and there's going to be two colorways dropping. And if you guys have already seen pictures of the shoe, it has like a very funky looking swoosh, and apparently this was like the original swoosh. So
it was
logo?
It was the swoosh from like 1971 when Nike, I think, became Nike. And you know, they paid, I think, a University of Oregon student like $35 to come up with a logo. And I think I forgot her name, but she drew the swoosh. And I think originally it was like skinny and much longer, like it is on the ready made. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of like a cool insider kind of detail, how they pay homage to OG Nike logos. But it is a bit of a weird looking swoosh, I must say.
I wonder if they're going to kind of make that into like a GR pair. Like they're going to put that on all the Blazers, like this weird looking swoosh, you know?
I think they did it on the Cortez. They had like a skinnier swoosh on the Cortez like last year.
I don't know if you remember, like last year,
2 years ago, maybe it was 2019. They've done it before, but it wasn't as extreme as this one. I think the ready-made one is a lot exact. It's like, it's more exaggerated than what it actually looked like in 1971.
Yeah, and I'm particularly not, I wouldn't say I'm like blown away by the shoe. It's definitely interesting looking though. And then there's these, I don't know if you've seen these Jordan 1 Zoom Comforts yet.
Mm-hmm. I've seen a couple of them, yeah.
Yeah, it's basically like a brand new model of the Jordan 1. I actually managed to get a pair a couple of days ago of those pink ones, the pink glaze. And so from just seeing the pair in hand, it is very different than a Jordan 1 from a comfort point of view. It's much more comfortable than the Jordan, than a normal Jordan 1, because it's very padded on the inside.
Well, I mean, Jordan 1s aren't comfortable usually anyway. You know,
yeah, like exactly.
I have the shadow ones and I can't wear those without putting in insoles, you know?
Yeah, no, they're I mean, it's a 1985
There's nothing
shoe.
There. It's like a tiny layer of air. But yeah, I've heard that the Air Jordan 1 Comforts are obviously, I mean, they're called Comfort.
Yeah, they're called the Comfort, and they are, because the around the ankle flap, it's padded and it's made out of felt. So it does kind of wrap around the ankle really well. And the colorways that are coming out specifically, there's going to be this Rust Canyon colorway dropping in the next 2 weeks, which, I mean, just from a colorway point of view, this might be like one of the nicest, like non OG colorways that I've seen in like the last few years. It's super interesting. We got like some like salmon color with some brown hits, and the material looks to be nubuck and suede. It looks like a super nice shoe. Unfortunately, it looks like it's a woman's release, so probably won't be making them in my size. But
in my size,
yeah, you'll be able to get a pair, man. But yeah, I'm definitely interested to see those in hand. The Zoom Comfort Rust Canyon.
They look a little bit like those Milano Air Jordan 1 mids. Remember those from a couple of years ago? Was it Milano? Milan, yeah, it was
the Milan mids.
Yeah. It looks a little like that. It goes in that direction with like the terracotta hues and stuff like that. But yeah, I think that kind of wraps it up in terms of releases, right? Unless you had any other ones.
No, that's it for my releases as well. And I think that kind of wraps it up for the pod, right? Like we covered everything.
Yeah, we covered everything. I think we're good in time too. So
thank you for the listeners. Thank you once again for checking into the pod. And yeah, look out for us on Spotify, Apple Music, and also YouTube. We will be uploading it there. And yeah, much love, man. And don't forget to like, if you guys want, we would love to hear your feedback. So hit us up on Instagram or even YouTube if that's the case. However you want to, just hit us up. Let us know your feedback, what you think of the pod. Yeah, really appreciate all the listeners, man. Really, really appreciate all the feedback from the last few weeks. So yeah, and until next time, I don't know. I guess next time you're going to be in the Canary Islands when we do this.
I'm going to be sitting on the beach. You're going to be hearing waves in the background, and I'm going to be drinking a mojito whilst we record this one.
Okay. No, that sounds great, man. So yeah, man, until next time, until episode 3, thank you guys for listening. Take it easy. Peace out.
See you guys.